So Brother Golo is the solar energy advisor to the Brahma Kumaris. Originally from Germany, he's lived in India for some 20 years, which is probably worth a medal anyhow. And he will share with you some of the quite fantastic things that are happening on the solar energy and related fronts here, and also some of the other environmental programs that the Brahma Kumaris are involved with around the world. Thanks, Brother Golo.
Om Shanti, and good afternoon in this rainy weather, which is very, very unusual. I've never seen something like that since I'm here, which is quite a long time. I talk today on adapting to a changing world. I touch a bit climate change very briefly because Brahma Kumaris is very active in the field of climate change. I introduce you to our work in renewable energies. We're since 20 years doing research and demonstration in solar energy. You might have noticed there's a solar cooker on the rooftop of the kitchen in Gyan Sarovar, and that's cooking your food until and unless it is not cloudy like the last 2 days, and then we use the backup. Then I talk a bit about how to bring change and how yogis actually can position themselves, or spiritual people can position themselves, and how we all together jointly can create a better world. So let's start. I have an hour time, 50 minutes, and then we'll have even a short meditation at the end. I should pack that all in 1 hour. I have a lot of information, so please bear with me. I try to be easy and try to use moderate English. Anyhow, English is not my native language, so it won't be too complicated. So you all know that we are facing a climate change, and today's weather is part of it. Unusual weather phenomena. And they are increasing all over the world. And the main reason for this is, as science has found out, that we are polluting the environment 24 hours, 365 days a year. We are generating electricity, and 70 to 80% of the world power generation is still based on coal. And coal is a very bad driver for the temperature, and that's why the weather all around us is changing. And this is a temperature graph, which is pretty recent, and you can see that from the year 1950, the temperature has gone up continuously. We have crossed now average increase 1.2 centigrades. Now, people will say, oh, 1.2 centigrades is not very much, but in India, for example, this year we broke the temperature record, 51.6 degrees. And somewhere in the Middle East, it was 52.8. And these are temperatures where humans cannot survive longer, where nature suffers a lot. And it's already happening that our food production is being negatively affected. We have more cyclones, we have more droughts. America, we have 7 years drought. And the weather is changing and shifting. The oceans are warming up. You might have heard that the Great Barrier Reef is affected by bleaching. And the reefs around the world are dying. So we're not treating our planet very nice. And the whole trick is now that as per the UN climate negotiation, we are trying to keep the temperature below 2 degrees. Science is telling us if we cross 2 degrees, it will be very, very bad for us for the future. So at the moment we're at 1.2, 1.3, which is already bad enough. So, and the effects are quite visible. Deserts are growing, and at the same time, the water level is rising. There are calculations if the ice shield in Greenland is melting, which is happening at the moment, that the water level will rise 13 meters. This would mean the end of cities like Melbourne, New York, Boston, Bombay, Calcutta, Amsterdam, London, you name it, all these cities, they will sink under the water. If all the ice melts in the South Pole and North Pole, we're talking of 60 meters water level rise. Now science tells us it will take another 100 years or 150 years that the ice will melt, and this will be later. However, all the forecasts in the last years had to be changed because science found out things are happening much faster than we were expecting. And secondly, they are a bit scared about so-called trigger events. This is a moment when a big ice field breaks off or a glacier suddenly glides into the ocean, creates a tsunami and melts very fast. And they don't know these trigger events. So science is a bit scared and they say it's a very bad situation at the moment and we're not 100% sure if things will not happen much faster and if there will be not a sudden trigger event. So that's actually right now the situation. And a lot of resources around the world are deputed towards the climate change, and they are debating at the moment to give this age a new name, the anthropogenic age. This is the age since the Second World War where humans are changing the world in a very visible way. So, and what does it mean to the ecological footprint? We can see here, this is the ecological footprint of the planet Earth, and since around the year 2016 we are here, we're using the resources of 1.6 Earth. We're using 1.6 times the water, 1.6 times the topsoil, 1.6 times the wood, 1.6 times the air. And India, for example, is using 2.2 times the resources of India because it's a small India and 1.3 billion people are living here. So we're overstretching the resources of the planet, and we should stop believing that we have to grow and grow and grow. Grow will kill us in the near future. We have to, economically seen, we have to shrink and reduce our GDP, reduce the growth. We need quality and no more quality. But this is something politicians, scientists, and the people have to understand. So, and there is many other problems for planet Earth. This is something called the human development within the safe operating space of planetary boundaries. You can actually Google that. It's a synonym being introduced by the Resilience Institute in Sweden. Professor Rockström has introduced it about 10 years ago, the planetary boundaries of planet Earth. He identified 9 areas. In 4 areas, we're already in critical, and climate change is not the most dangerous to us. So the planet is under threat from our existence. And one of the problems is that we're all consumers. You know, this lady labeled coming from USA, she is hypnotized by 10,000 advertisements, and she believes she has to buy new things. She needs new mobile phone, she needs a new car, she needs new cloth, she needs new shoes, and she needs a new flat screen TV when she comes home. And this, of course, could be also man. Man is driving consumerism probably even further. So she buys a lot of things and it's all on credit card. And Mahatma Gandhi said there's enough in the world for man's need, but not enough for man's greed. And we're all overstretching the resources, and we're part of this. We're traveling a lot, we're buying a lot of things, we're following fashion trends, and so on and so on. There are calculations in order to save the planet Earth. We have to reduce, especially us in the West, the developing countries, by 80%. We have to reduce our carbon footprint by 80%. 80% less traveling, 80% less shopping, 80% less this. Using your smartphone for the next 8 years continuously and don't buying a new one. You know, smartphone is on there. Here we are. So, we're all part of this. And we're automatically grown into such a society of buying things and consumerism. It became our habit. And this is something we all can think about it, how we position ourselves. At the same time, we can see that the oil and gas age is coming to an end. We have peaked world oil production. This is why we have all these wars and uncertainty also in the Middle East, because all the superpowers trying to position themselves for the dwindling resources of fossil fuels. And it won't become better. And unfortunately, there is a connection between environmental degradation, poverty, and conflict. We can see that quite clearly when the environment degrades, people, they migrate, there is conflict, there is poverty, and it goes hand in hand. There's a very strong relation, like many studies, they're showing that. So there is an alternative for all our problems. Of course, there is an alternative. It's the sun. You can see here this big cube is the accumulated solar energy reaching to planet Earth every year. And this little cube is what we need. The sun energy, the content of the sun energy is 1,000 times more than the world energy demand. Sun is plentiful there, and we would need small areas. For example, in the Sahara, we would need an area of 400 by 400 kilometers where we build standard solar systems, and it would be enough to power planet Earth. It's nothing. In India, we would need in Rajasthan, in the desert, an area 60 by 60 kilometers where we put up conventional solar power, and it would power whole India. Doesn't seem much. It is a reality, not really much. So it would be very interesting to switch and change our production. This is oil, coal, uranium, and gas, which are still in the ground. And now science is telling us within the next 20 years, we completely have to phase out all this. We have to completely get out of fossil fuels. In 20 years, no more coal. In 20 years, no more oil. And little gas maybe, and uranium is also very dangerous. After Fukushima, we all know how dangerous nuclear power is. So we should not touch the coal, and we should leave it in the ground. India, for example, unfortunately, has a very big program for promoting solar energy, but on the same time is planning to build another 10 coal-based power plants in the next 10 years. China plans to build another 15 coal-based power plants in the next 10 years. So still, there's a lot of investment going on. But this year is a trend change. This year, for the first time in history, the investment in renewable energy is more than in conventional power. So this is, to some extent, a good news. So the Brahma Kumaris is seeing all these problems. We are yogis which would like to change the world and create a paradise here. So we have set up an environmental initiative about 10 years ago, and we are participating since then regular at the climate conferences. The big one was in Copenhagen, and since then we call it the Green Team. I have this green tree also here, you can see that. So our Green Team is participating since then at all the climate conferences, and our aim is to inspire people that a change is not only a technological change or a strategy change, but a change has to come from within. Because the world within ourselves, our thoughts, our consciousness and our awareness affects to a great extent the outer world and has a very strong impact. I later will come back to you and elaborate a bit on that. So we inspire people to become bridge builders, caregivers, creators, dreamers, initiators, mediators, motivators, peacemakers, strategists, and visionaries. And I hope you like one or two or one or the other of these ideas, what you like to imbibe in your own life. And we are propagating that a change has to come from me, from the inside to the outside. I change myself first, and then I inspire my family, I inspire my friends, and I inspire community, country, and the life on earth. We advocate also a green lifestyle. Rethink before you buy. Reuse the goods. Reduce your consumption and recycle. In Germany, for example, we have a green dot. And since my childhood, we collect the waste separate. We have paper box, we have plastic box, we have a green box for organic, we have something for glass, and even now metal. And almost all the waste in Germany is recycled. So these are ideas which we all should follow. And we have in our webpage, we have guidelines for our centers, and we try to inspire them to follow such environmental friendly ideas. For example, we also propagate a vegetarian lifestyle. And who of you is a vegetarian? Okay. And who is not a vegetarian? All right. Now I try to tell you now some facts which should make you think and should inspire you to think about meat consumption. You see, this is a graph which indicates about the different energy consumption required for different type of foods. Meat is a very inefficient way to feed world humanity. You need, for example, 10 kilo of soya, you need 15,000 liters of water to produce 1 kilo of meat. So to produce meat is a very inefficient way. We need a lot of land, a lot of water, and a lot of other food to produce meat. On the same time, the cows, they produce methane gas, which is very effective in the atmosphere. On the other side, corn, wheat, that one third of all greenhouse gas emissions, which are causing the climate change, are directly related to meat production. One third of greenhouse gas emissions are related to meat production. So if you really would like to do something and contribute to the earth in the future, you have to consider your meat consumption. There is a study in America which has been published 2 years ago. 40,000 people have been interviewed for 25 years about their food habit. And it has been found out very, very clearly, vegetarians are more healthy. They have a better life expectancy, mentally also more fit, and the overall situation is much better for them. So think about it. Your health will improve, you spend less money, and you do something good for our friends, the animals, because we should love them and not eat them, you know. And this is a secret space photo from the NASA, which I just got yesterday. I don't laugh, it's serious. You see, it's planet Earth, and the vegetables are dancing around, and planet Earth is very happy. So consider all these facts. It's good for your health. It's very tasty, very yummy vegetarian food. You protect the animals, they're our friends. And we contribute and heal planet Earth. So a lot of reasons to be vegetarian. We are also participating at the climate conferences, as I said. This is the logo of the Paris 2015 climate conference, where the famous Paris Agreement was signed. The Paris Agreement to protect planet Earth, where all countries agreed we want to do something. And here's our famous green team. You can see here's our sister Sonia, which is here, sister Genti, which is coming, and Valerian is also here. And if you have any more questions, you can ask Valerian or Sonia, myself, and Gentiman will come. This is in Paris, our green team, and we had almost 50 programs at the climate conference, within the climate conference, but also outside. And we try to inspire people to think on their thoughts and their awareness and understand the strong connection between the inner and the outer world. This was our program inside the climate conference. And here was our exhibition stand, and very soon we're going to Marrakesh to the next climate conference. Here was a demonstration of green angels, as you can see, and that were not our people, and they say coal kills, no excuses, and free our power. So this was all going on at the Paris conference, and they were using even the Eiffel Tower and says decarbonize, means go out of fossil fuels. Now everybody believes, okay, in Paris we signed an agreement, very good, and so on. But you have to understand one thing. In Paris we signed an agreement which says we like to stay below 2 degrees centigrade. All the countries agreed we have to reduce our emission. However, this is not a legally binding agreement. These are voluntarily contributions. The reason was Obama never would get an agreement through the Congress or the Senate, because you know Donald Trump, he believes climate change is a hoax by the Chinese to squash American business, you know. So they had to make it legally non-binding. And you know, climate change protection costs money. So the countries, they've made pledges what they would like to contribute and how much they want to reduce. At the moment, if you take all those pledges together, we come to 3.7 degrees. So you can imagine where we are at the moment. All the pledges of the countries come to 3.7 degrees. At 3 degrees global warming, the plankton will die in the ocean and it will be the end of humanity. That's another reason. So we are in France, and now we have the next climate conference in Marrakesh. Brahma Kumaris will go there. I was just there for preparation. And let us hope that humanity understands the seriousness of the problems and comes up with adequate answers and understands, it's also a lifestyle change required from us, a paradigm shift. We really have to change completely different, you know. And let us see what will happen in the near future, but we're living in a very interesting time because the knowledge is there about that change and we know what we have to do. Let us see we can get our act together and let us see how we can contribute as spiritual people. Now very briefly about Brahma Kumaris, you heard about it, we're a spiritual organization, you're here at the headquarter. We have 8,500 centers all over the world and we're administrated by women. And we are connected with ECOSOC and we are connected with UNFCC and with UNEP. Am I right, Sonia? UNEP, United Nations Environment Program. And we have been just recently also in Nairobi at the UNEP conference. And we do at the, beside teaching yoga, meditation, making peace of mind programs, like inviting all of you here to have a good experience, we also are a recognized research center with the government of India in solar research. And we do this since the last 20 years, and we do research in photovoltaic, solar steam, water recycling, solar hot water, solar architecture, solar thermal power, and energy efficiency. Since the last 20 years, we've done many, many research projects, set up systems, tested them, verified them, did research papers and so on. And we have quite a big team of almost 100 brothers here living in the campus who are connected to solar work. This is the first solar steam cooking system which is on top of the solar cooking Gyantse rover. It is running now since 20 years and this is a record. This is probably the oldest solar steam cooking system in the world which is still functional, and we produce every day 600 kilos steam which goes in the kitchen and can cook 2,000 meals for all of you. So your food is partly cooked by sun, by the deity Surya in India, a very venerable deity. And Indians, they love it if you use the sun, everybody loves it, but in India the sun is a deity. So it has a very powerful impact if you cook with the sun. And this project was sponsored by the German government 20 years ago. We got 100,000 Deutschmark at that time and working very well. In 1999 we set up a system in Abu Road in our Shantivan campus, and there we produce 3,500 kilograms steam and we cook 30,000 meals every day. This system is also running very nicely and became landmark projects in India. People are coming to us, they want to see what is Brahma Kumaris doing, how they are cooking on such a large scale, and how they set up the systems. You see, this is our Shantivan campus in Abu Road, and here's the solar steam cooking system. We have also a lot of photovoltaic everywhere, produce also electricity. And the electricity for this beamer comes from solar energy. We have backside here, 150 kilowatt photovoltaic, and produce 1,000 units every day if the sun shines, and feed it to the computer's emergency light and the critical loads here in the campus. So this is a detailed look up at our cooking system, and you see all fabrication, design, welding, all the ideas has been done by our own team, and we did insulation, fabrication, and this is a bit of a schematic how the system is working. And this is the energy saving. We save up to 1.2 tons of CO2 every day, and we cook, we save up to 400 liters diesel every day. And here you can see we cook up to 30,000 meals every day. And this is the crowd in our Shantivan campus, so that's when the hall is full, and we cook for all these people by solar energy. So you see what is possible. Quite a lot is possible. And here we are building a new 16 square meter dish. This is our Wolfgang Schaeffler, the inventor of this dish from Germany. Jesima, our chief engineer, myself in young years. We also promote the solar cooker. Very easy, very cheap. You need sunshine. You can cook a meal. It's about $50 or $100 now the cost, and it's available almost in every country of the world. We also promote solar lanterns. We have promoted almost 30,000 lanterns, distributed to centers, sold them in a little shop here. We're trying to inspire people to use them. In India, 60,000 villages still have no electrical connection. 60,000 villages are without electrical connection. So you can imagine how helpful is such a solar cooker. So, and here you can see our photovoltaic. This is right backside here of the hall. This is a 150 kilowatt, but we increased it. Totally, we have now 150 kilowatt, and we produce electricity for here. And this is our Om Shanti Retreat Center near Delhi. And you see here we have a 400 kilowatt photovoltaic on rooftop, and we have a solar steam cooking system there. And this place is completely energy autark. So slowly we're trying to introduce this technology in our centers in India. Meanwhile, we have equipped 400 centers in India with a solar steam, with a solar electrical system, with photovoltaic cells, and we're trying to increase that and make it more and more and more and more. And you see all fabrication, design, installation, foundation work was all done by us. And you can see here how we're installing the solar plates. The good news is that solar photovoltaic, which you see there, has dropped in prices about 70% in the last 5 to 6 years. So photovoltaic is almost available at the same cost like conventional power. Actually, you know, India is investing, one of the rich business tycoons is investing in Australia at the moment, $20 billion. And they are developing a new mine field, coal mine field. They make a harbor in the Great Barrier Reef, which is a bit embattled. And they take the coal, ship it to India, build coal-based power plants here, and then produce electricity. And now they have done the calculation. It's already cheaper. You use the solar plates instead of mining and shipping it all over, but they still don't stop with the plants. You know, the human mind sometimes is a bit funny, you know, not understanding the importance of certain facts and figures. So people are sometimes a bit greedy, unfortunately. So, and they use conventional batteries to store the energy overnight. And we have more than 8,000 batteries, and they're running very nicely. They're our babies. And we have a lifespan of 10 years, and then we overhaul them. We get 20 years lifespan out of them. And then we even recycle the lead and all this. So we're still quite happy with these old-fashioned batteries. And they don't explode like your Samsung batteries. So, and now I come to the latest project. It's called India One. And India One is the research project we're doing in Shantivan. And I'd like to invite you all to come and visit this project on the 8th. On the last day, there's the possibility to visit that project. It's on the way to Ahmedabad. So you just need 1 hour extra. So if you start a bit earlier or you register yourself, you might be able to see the project. This is a research project sponsored partly by the German government. We get 6 million euros by the German government, 3 million euros by the Indian government, 3 million euro comes from the Brahma Kumaris, and it's a 1 megawatt solar thermal power plant with storage. There's a webpage where you find more information. We work with a very famous research institute, and the idea is to develop and test a small-scale power station with storage. Because storage is the crucial technological hurdle which stops us at the moment to introduce renewable energy on a large scale. If we develop cheap storage to store the energy overnight, then we have cracked, we found the jackpot. So everybody in the world does research for cheap storage, Brahma Kumaris also, and this is our project, and for this we build a big dish. A 60 square meter parabolic dish which follows the sun like a sunflower. The light is reflected into the receiver and we are pumping, the receiver becomes hot. The receiver is made out of 3 tons of cast iron and the cast iron becomes very hot, 550 degrees. We have a coil around the cast iron, we pump water through and we get steam out. The steam is going to a turbine. So, and here's our solar land. Here's our Shantivan campus and here is Mount Abu. So when you drive down, you can visit the solar plant and then go here on the highway and go. So no problem. This is the layout. We're building totally 770 dishes, 2,100 foundations, 4 meter deep, 10,000 tons of steel fabrication, 6 years work with 200 workers. This is going into this project. Thousands of engineering hours, 10,000 emails. I lost partly my hair because of the project, you know, I can tell you. I don't go in details, but it's changing your personality, I can promise you. So, you had to work our own fabrication hall, you see here, and all the engineering, the design was done by us. It's pretty complicated. It's probably among the most ambitious research projects besides flying to the moon, which you can pick up. And in the beginning, we were totally not equipped for it, you know. We just had the idea. We didn't know about technology, had no money, and had no land. And now, this year, we're probably inaugurating the project. This is the fabrication of the stand. This is erection of the dishes. And this is how it looks like now. And here's our turbine house. And here's a little photovoltaic project. And here is Mount Abu. We're here on top. So when you come driving down, here's the Shantivan campus. Here is the India One solar power project. And this is how it looks like. You see, here is the solar field. Here is the fabrication, our offices, the turbine house. And we hope to go operational within the next 3 months. We're flushing at the moment the pipelines, then comes the Indian inspector and inspects that the pipes are not leaking, which we know anyhow because we welded them all shut. We get a stamp and a certificate. We had to x-ray all the welding joints. You can imagine, they're x-rayed. Then we get a nice stamp and then we can insulate them, and in 4 weeks the Siemens engineer comes for final commissioning, and then we send the steam to the turbine. And then the turbine should start rotating and producing electricity. That's the plan. So far we have been lucky and things have worked out. It's a big challenge to do such a project. We have invested almost 12 million euros, 15 million US dollar, quite a lot of money, quite a lot of time. Very, very, very challenging project. And we hope to get a minister from Germany and Narendra Modi for inauguration. Let us see what will happen. And we hope this plant will be inspirational for entrepreneurs, for engineers, for the people, for the world, to see how you can produce in a clean way power, how you can store it overnight, and how you can make the world a better place. So now you have seen the world is in trouble. I think you agree all that the world is in trouble. Do you agree that we have a troublesome world at the moment? Yes? No? Yes, yeah. A lot of problems, wars, financial crisis, even, I'm from Germany, even Deutsche Bank, which was so solid, is now almost bankrupt. And so many issues are happening all around us, tensions, environmental pollution, one disaster message after the other. So the big question is now, we have good technology, you see, and this technology is there since a long time. What to do and how to position ourselves and how all this, what you're learning here, can actually help you to make a difference, because we would like to become change makers and we would like to help this planet and we would like to have an impact. So let us see what we can do, how to become a world transformer and how to become a change maker, because it seems technology alone will not do the trick. No? I think you agree on that. So let us see a little bit how is the connection between our world and our consciousness and awareness. And if you look a little bit into our actions and our ideas which we're pursuing, you see that there's a very strong connection between the world, the actions, and the visions and ideas which we have. An architect first has a vision or an idea of a building, and then he starts creating it and building it, and then it becomes reality, and then we create the world. And the visions and ideas, they are created by our consciousness and by our awareness. So we have to look into consciousness and awareness, and that's what we're doing here at the Brahma Kumaris, how to change at the innermost level of your being. Who are we? What is going on? And science in the last 10 years has done a tremendous amount of research, and they did a lot of research how the brain functions. What is the brain actually? What is the mind? What are our thoughts? What impact they actually have? And can we actually change on the most inner core of our existence? These are the big questions. And science, the last 10, 15 years, they started mapping the brain, put people in the scanner, called yogis, called Buddhist monks. Even our Daddy Junkie was once scrutinized in a research laboratory, I think in California or in the United States, and she produced unbelievable beta waves, you know, and they gave her things to calculate, and she was like in deep trance, you know, and they said, how are you doing that? So what's going on? They did a lot of research and they found out that 95% of the decisions which we're taking in life, they're coming from subconscious. Means deep within us. And the really bad news is, you cannot influence your subconscious. We call it here habits. In India it's called sanskaras. It's your behavior. It's your character, it's your personality. You cannot really change it. Because the subconscious is the collection of all the informations and situations of the past. I give you a very simple example. I love this example because it's actually my own example, you know. When I was a small boy, my mother took me first time at the age of 5 to the ice cream parlor. And she says, "Golo, I give you ice cream today." And I had no clue what it means, you know, but my mother was smiling, so I thought it must be something special. And, then she said, "Which one you like?" I said, "This one." I pointed to the brown one because I thought that looks good. It was the chocolate ice cream. So I got chocolate ice cream, then I tried it. And I thought, my God, it's very cold, you know, but it's sweet, you know. And my mother looked to me and she said, "Isn't it tasty?" And then I said, "Yeah," you know. And you know, that moment, 50 years ago, I created a very powerful, deep habit. I call it my chocolate ice cream habit. At that time, because my mother was smiling to me and all the circumstances, I released dopamine and oxytocin, you know, these are chemicals I released into my system. Yes, yes, very good. Very good. And new mobile phone, you can come to me, I can sell you a very good new mobile phone, which doesn't make noise. Get 5%. So I created this program, Ice Cream. And you know, over the years I sort of explored, I sort of gave strength and wisdom to that program, and I fanned out a bit, you know, with tastes different. I added lemon and mango I added also. So nowadays, you know, the bad point is our center where I live in Frankfurt, when I'm in Germany, opposite is an ice cream parlor. So when I come out of the ice cream, when I come out of the center, you know, I'm walking and then I see the ice cream parlor opposite. And then I subconsciously start the program chocolate ice cream, which I've started. And I do that subconscious without, I think, I go in automatic modus, you know. And my hand automatically goes into my pocket and I look for money. Of course I have money inside because I know that, you know, I have money, and automatically I change my steps and cross the road. And I don't have to look for the traffic because I know how to cross the road without any problems. And I go, and already I release dopamine and oxytocin into my systems. I create saliva in my mouth and I think, today I take 3 balls. I take chocolate, mango and lemon, you know, and on top cream. You know, I like cream. So, you know, and I execute the program ice cream. And you know, it's so difficult for me to change it. Because science has found out through a lot of research that it's hardwired into our gray brain cells. It becomes part of us. It's like in your RAMs. You write the program and it is fixed there and you cannot access it. And whenever you execute it, you strengthen it. So imagine, you have a yellow dress, you have a big green tree on your t-shirt, you have a blue dress, or you have this, or you have that. Subconscious decision. You like Toyota, or you like Mercedes car. Subconscious. You come to India, you like it, or you don't like it. Mostly subconscious. 95% of your decisions are based on subconscious decision-making process, and you do it because it's much more energy efficient to you. So all the problem is all your fears, your happiness, your traumas, they're all there. What you shop, what you do, subconscious decision, it's a program which we have done, which we have written a long time ago. We cannot change it, we cannot access it. Science was a bit frustrated because they thought we're like robots and following an old program of behavior. And many of the problems with aggression, traumatization, schizophrenia, people cannot change because it's hardwired into their gray brain cells. Now the bad news is, when you become older, when you cross the age of 25, the amount of gray brain cells in your brain is diminishing. Who is older than 25? All right. But don't laugh. Sometimes I have youngsters. All right. Do you forget sometimes things? Yeah, okay. You see, that's the signs, you know. These are the signs. What happens is from the age of 25, the body loses the ability to create new gray brain cells. We lose the chemical ability. We cannot reproduce them. This is why once a nerve cell is cut, the body cannot regrow them. So science found out through scans, when you become older, you lose the gray brain cells. When it becomes very, very old, you get dementia or Alzheimer, then you get big holes in your brain where there are no more functioning gray brain cells. So this is the bad news then. We are acting on behalf of our subconscious program. We cannot access it consciously or rationalize. We can read a good book about cigarette smoking, but it will not change our behavior. Even if we know cigarette smoking is very bad, we cannot stop it. So how we change behavior in a big way? Now, science found out something very interesting. They took yogis and put them in the CT scan and the magnet resonance imaging. And they said, let us look what happens if you meditate. And they found out if you meditate, you're a yogi. You do it a little bit reasonable, accurate and regular. The amount of gray brain cells is increasing again. You are reversing the aging process in your brain. And this is something very sensational, because science was thinking you cannot do that. This is why sometimes, not always, but sometimes you see yogis, they look very young, you know. With my hair, I would look much younger. And they're very fit, you know, because through meditation you again regrow gray brain cells. And then something very special happens. You have fresh gray brain cells which you can reprogram, and where you can sort of create a new positive program. So you can change fear-based attitudes to happiness, to love, to compassion, greediness, to being compassionate with everybody. And you can slowly get rid of your negative trends and negative behavior patterns through meditation. And science found out you increase your social competence, you deepen your relaxation, you improve your health, but most important, you increase your brain capacity, and you're able to create a very fundamental reprogramming process in your brain and change on a very deep level your personality. And this is why you're all here, because you learn to meditate. We try to inspire you to meditate, and this enables you to change on a very deep level. And you all know your habits which you want to get rid. Do you know habits which you want to get rid? Who knows a habit he wants to get rid and he has difficulties? Yeah, I know, I also have some. Ice cream is one of the easy ones. I don't tell you my other stuff. So we all have habits we want to get rid, and we have this idea, I want to get rid. Intellectually we understand, but we're not able to change the habit, because it's a subconscious thing connected to the chemistry of our body, and it's so powerful. And advertisement uses that. They all know these tricks. That's why it's so difficult. But when you meditate, you create new gray brain cells, and you're able to create a new program on a very deep level. Get rid of your fears, get rid of your anger, get rid of your inner negativity, become a perfect being and being of angel. Voila! So meditation helps you to change. So, now, let me see here. So now the big question is this enough if we change our actions to create a new world, to create a paradise? Probably not. We need a bit more. We need magic. Who likes Harry Potter? Who likes Harry Potter? Okay, who likes magic? You like all like magic. You like an idea and it should happen. I will explain you now about magic. It's a bit scientific but very easy. It's called the double slit experiment. This is a very interesting experiment in quantum physics. Many years ago, science wanted to find out what is the nature of light. So they took a light source, they made a wall with two holes, and they said, if light behaves like a particle, the light will go through here, we have a reflection here, we have a reflection here. If light behaves like a wave, we get what is called an interference design on the screen. So they said, with the help of this experiment, it should be very easy to find out what is the nature of light. Is it a particle or is it a wave? So they did this experiment, but you know, somehow, sometimes they got one result and sometimes they got the other result. So they thought, something wrong with the laboratory. We go to another laboratory, they go somewhere else, they took another light source, they went in another city, in another country. Still, the results were sometimes like this, sometimes like that. And finally they found out what is influencing the outcome of the result. Do you know what is influencing the outcome of the results? A very famous experiment. Oh my God. Ice cream. You should know that. Huh? So anybody knows? It's a very famous experiment. Yes. Yes, right. If the person who does the project, who does the experiment, if he looks to the experiment, light behaves like a particle. And the moment I shift my attention and I look to you, light flips and behaves like a wave. So I look to you, then I look back, and light becomes a particle. I says, okay, and then I look to you, and light behaves like a wave. This is a revolution in scientific thinking, and this is something which, as per science, actually should not happen. You know, 150 years ago, 200 years ago, we all believe in God, we believe in the creation, we believed mind over matter, and we believed in magic. Then science came and says, no, there's just matter, there are we, and we just have to exploit nature, and we can create a better world. And we just need some ethics and values, and we do it, no problem. And there's no whatsoever connection between us human beings, or consciousness or awareness and matter. This was one of the foundations of scientific belief. And suddenly, 100 years later, they make this experiment and they find out human consciousness influences subatomic structures. A friend of mine, who's a BK, he runs a research institute in Germany, he's doing experiment in high vacuum at the moment, where he puts thought power on atoms and tries to reverse the spin of atoms. So far, he has spent €100,000 into the experiment for high vacuum pumps and laser beams and atoms and reverse and whatnot. And a month ago there was the yearly physicist conference in Frankfurt, where a couple of Nobel laureates were also there. And Thorsten was speaking to one of the guys, and he said he'd done the similar experiment 5 years ago, and he tried to influence the spin of the atoms, if it's spinning right or left, by the power of thoughts. Science believes, meanwhile, quite a lot of people, that there's a very powerful connection between us, between you, and the physical reality. It means we're all the time connected to this world. We're all the time talking to this world. Even I'm influencing light. If I put my attention there, light behaves like a particle. If I look to you, light changes. Who has a garden and has some plants? Who has a garden and some plants? All right, half of you. Who is talking to his plants? All right, almost all of you are talking. Welcome to the power of thoughts. In America, there's a competition who can make the biggest pumpkin. And every year, one guy comes with a 250 kilo pumpkins on his trailer and wins the competition. So they ask him, what are you doing? And he says, what's your secret? And he says, it's love. He says, in the morning at 7 o'clock, I go to my pumpkin and I say, good morning, pumpkin. Yeah, you are laughing, but he gets the biggest pumpkin, you know. And he says, good morning, pumpkin. The sun is rising, you have to wake up. I give you a little water and you grow and you become big and we win the competition. The pumpkin is doing it. And then in the evening, he also goes there and he says, pumpkin, now is sunset, time to sleep. Nice pumpkin. So he gets a big pumpkin. He loves this pumpkin. There are lots and lots and lots of experiments in the 80s and the 90s in Harvard University, in Stanston also. They can all be read up in the internet. It's all peer-reviewed papers about the influence, the connection of consciousness and awareness into physical reality and the vice versa reaction. We all the time talk to matter. Matter gives a feedback loop to us, and we are all the time connected. Some scientists, they're telling us the physical reality exists because I, the observer, exists. You know, you have seen the Matrix film, no? You know, and the hero eats the blue pill or the green pill, you know. So here you get a special yoga pill, you know, and you wake up to the reality. I am a creator and I am connected to the world there. And my thoughts, they have an impact and I have a responsibility. I have a very powerful responsibility on my thoughts because all the time I'm sending energy into the physical realm and the physical realm responds. So this is the Harry Potter. This is the magic wand. This is the abracadabra. It's our thought. And if you meditate, you become more and more soul conscious. You focus. You become more and more powerful. You become more and more pure. Your energy field is growing. You have more and more impact. You become strong. And then you become an angel and a creator. And then we all collectively can create a new world and bring change. Meditation and our thoughts are the key to transform the world. And this is why you're here, to learn about that secret, how a change of awareness and consciousness, how meditation helps you to become powerful and you have an impact into the physical reality and you change your action and your behavior, but you also change the vibration. And the world is reacting all the time. This is why we're in such a troublesome situation, because see what we're looking at every day. See the films, see the news we're reading or the books. A lot of violence, a lot of negativity, a lot of problems. This is the mental food the world humanity eats at the moment. We have to change that. We have to think peacefully, lovefully, compassionate. We should embrace others. We should not have negative thoughts towards the self and towards others. So, what should we do? Think positive on yourself, think positive on others, and think positive on the world. In order to heal the world, we first have to heal ourselves. Now, science has done a study. What are people thinking throughout the day? And they found 45% of the people, they are worried about the past. They think, this guy last week, he took the last parking spot, you know, and I don't like him, you know, when I saw his face, I don't like that kind of, you know, I don't like these people. And, you know, this last month was not a good month, you know, I have to change something, you know, something like that. 45% of the people are dwelling in such kind of thoughts. 50% of the people are worried about future. They think, I have to be very careful and watch my steps. There might be a banana leaf somewhere and I might slip. And they think, my life is quite miserable, you know. After this retreat here, where you all be in like a holiday situation, you have to go home to your cold, miserable countries. You have to start your slave jobs, you know. You see the same old faces, which you didn't like so much anyway, you know, and you come back, you know, your car has a puncture, you yet not know it. Your hot water geyser is not working. You have no milk in the fridge for the coffee. This is very serious, you know. No, you laugh, but black coffee is horrible, you know. And the worst of all, your bank account is flat. So all in all, the life is miserable. So 50% of the people, they have this kind of thoughts, either on the past or in the future. And 5% of the people are happy. And you know who are these 5%? You all meet them all the time, they're around you. Who are the 5% which are happy? No, not the BKs. The BKs are specialists in worries. They worry if my meditation was powerful enough. Then the BKs worry about their white dress, you know, they think. You know, I have a little black spot here, you know. And when I was ironing my dress, I was a bit worried, you know. But then I thought, come on, Golo, don't be worried. No, BK is not definite. They have very specific worries, you know. But not the BKs. No. So who is happy? The children. Who said it? Who said the children? The kids. The kids are happy. No worries about past. No worries about future. And they're just happy in the now. And they look at you with open eyes, like you had been to the Dilwara temple yesterday. You saw the yogis? They look like children. Like this, they look very happy, very content. They're happy. They don't worry about past and not about future. Because I'm not changing the past. I'm not influencing the future right now. It's best as I'm now in the happiness. Children up to the age of 5, onwards it's bad because they want a mobile phone and then it's done. They get spoiled. So, become like children. Think positive on yourself, think positive on others. So that's why in the morning meditation, have a powerful thought upon yourself. Bless yourself, become positive, smile, and try to stay in this happiness. Enjoy the moment. Don't worry about past, don't worry about future. And then you become a healer for yourself, a healer for others, and then a healer for the world. So, yoga is an old Sanskrit word and means connection with the Supreme, to become self-enlightened. Then you have realization, I'm a pure spirit, I'm a spiritual being, this is my immortal form, and my body is just my temporary shape. This changes everything. Fear goes, anger goes, and you see things in a totally different perspective. Then you receive power, and then you have transformation, and that's what we want to achieve. We want to achieve transformation for ourselves, and we want to achieve transformation for the world. And we all want to make this world a paradise. So, towards a better world, change of consciousness, it starts through meditation, unity and values, inner peace, and sustainable technologies all the time there. You see, Brahma Kumaris is doing this in order to inspire people, in order to use clean technology, but it's all the time there. It has to be strengthened by a change of consciousness and awareness. And you're all invited to participate in the last days here, in the coming days of this retreat, to go more and more in the depth of this positive attitude and understand this very, very powerful connection between your thoughts, your consciousness, and the world out there. Because all are atoms, all is energy, and your thoughts is also energy. And you are connected, and you are all master creators of your own world, but also master creator of your surrounding. And if you become a lighthouse, you will be able to inspire easily other people also to switch on the light and change. If you go home and you start smiling, people will also start smiling after some time. So, I thank you very much for your attention. If you want more information, there's solarbrahmakumaris.com, there's india1.net, and there's the wechobrahmakumaris.org, and you all have received a little brochure, Sonia, and a little blessing card, and you can have a look. There's our webpage, and I hope you will be inspired to go a bit more deep in meditation, and you will understand a bit more deeper the powerful connection between myself and the world outside, and that we all can become creators, and that we all have the power to make this world a better place. I invite now Sister Sonia to come on stage, and we would like to make a small experiment with you, a 5-minute meditation in which Sonia will guide you for the environment, how to reach out and how to send positive vibrations to the self and also to the world. And after this you might understand a bit more in depth how powerful is your connection. Thank you very much.
Om Shanti. So we'll have a 5-minute meditation. So I'll ask you to sit straight on your chairs. And straight back and both feet on the floor. And start relaxing the body. You relax your legs, your shoulders, relax your face, and we breathe deeply, take a few deep breaths, breathe to the bottom of my stomach. Breathing deeply connects me to the earth, makes me humble. I go inside with my attention. and I connect to the inner being. I know and I feel I'm a peaceful soul. We can connect to everyone else in this room. Everyone is this in this room, a connector. We breathe the same air, drink the same water, and we walk on the same earth. Can expand my consciousness and connect to all living beings on the earth. I connect all human beings to the animals. Connect to nature and the trees and the sky. We are one unit. The planet and all living beings and matter is one unit. And I'm part of this. And I connect, all of us connect to the Supreme Soul. And I take power from the Supreme. Together with the power of the Supreme, we send healing vibrations to the planet. Each one of us can place the planet in our hands. And you let your hands heal the earth. And you ease the pain of transition with your loving thoughts. With your pure vibrations. The earth is revolving in your hands. With the power of our thought, we can heal and restore beauty and harmony for everyone. And the rain outside is reminding us of the urgency of this work. Sitting on the top of the mountain is a very good place for sending loving vibrations to the earth. And slowly we turn our attention back, close your eyes. Take a deep breath. come back to this very moment. Appreciating this moment in time. Om Shanti. Okay, thank you, and thank you to Golu for presentation. And you should all have had a leaflet and a blessing card, and if you haven't, you can get one from us. And here in the front, we have some extra leaflets in French, if anyone likes one in French. And there is a specific one on renewable energy, if anyone of you would like to read more about the work on renewable energy. So thank you very much, and Om Shanti.